Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. It's going to be a very difficult evening. I have much to say, deep, deep feelings to share. Because when I speak about Maria Callas, probably the single greatest idol of female voices in the classical world, and Whitney Houston, the beloved American songbird, both of them died very, very young. Basically, Maria Callas at 53 and Whitney at 49, both should have been at the height of their careers and their lives, in their voices. And unfortunately, both of them died tragically. And both of them died because of the voice. A little background, not much, but Maria Callas was extraordinary. Extraordinary musician, extraordinary vocal talent, extraordinary in her work habit as a musician, what she put in, the things that she did in order to become who she became, and what life brought her way, the decisions she had to make, and the things she had to accept for her voice in order to be and to remain and to sustain the glory of public opinion. Well, having said that, Whitney had to do pretty much the same thing. Because ultimately, when you're sitting in that place, and when you're screamed at by an adoring public and expected to perform at top level always, that's a tremendous responsibility. Maria Callas made a huge career. So did Whitney. Both of them coming in basically as underdogs. Maria Callas was fat. It didn't matter that she had a great voice, a great instrument, let's put it that way. And Whitney was black. So at Whitney's time, the black singers were becoming and were already a great asset to American music, to the music of the world. When Maria Callas came in, it was a time of great voices. There are those who said that her voice was ugly. There are those who said that she would never make a career. And then there were those who said, well, if you lose weight and you become a diva, you will be and you can be. All of that is external. All of that is put onto the instrument, and all of that ultimately is part and parcel of the destruction. Now, I have a lot to say about Maria Callas, about her singing. I was really never a great fan because from the onset, I felt that there was a great, great instrument that was never properly trained. There was a personality that was greater than life and her life and how she behaved in her life and her tumultuousness in her life were not great for the instrument, because the instrument needs quiet. Whitney had the same kind of thing, tremendous, tremendous fan acclaim, love of her fans, screeching and screaming even when they shouldn't be, because there were many, many times when she was not vocally great, but she was Whitney Houston, just as Maria Callas was Maria Callas. I have some clips for you that I want to show you. I'll play maybe a minute or two of each to give you an idea, and in between, I'll stop. I'll make some comments, and then I'll show you a little bit more. I think we should start with Maria Callas, 1954. So at that point, she was singing La Traviata, which is basically lyric, coloratura, soprano, and you need height, and you need agility, beautiful, beautiful music, and probably had she stayed in that repertoire, things wouldn't have gone so, so, so bad. So here, as I said, 1954, Act One, Estrano. Try that on for size. That was, for all intents and purposes, in position. However, on the notes that were, quote unquote, and I always say this, lower, she went down, she left the position and dropped down into the throat. Listen to this one.
Because
very different voices. Very, very, very great difference between what you heard before, which was still high, which was still lofty, even though she moved down, but the voice, for all intents and purposes, was in the right place. Now listen to this. Sonambula. I don't think we have to go on because it's obvious. What are the early recordings where the voice is lofty and bright? And what happens in the later years? And her career basically was over at the age of 40, which is just devastating, devastating. There are certain career things, decisions that have to be made. Integrity and the integrity of a singer. No matter what he sings, whether that's pop, whether that's opera, whether it's classical, whether it's R&B, it makes no difference that the decisions have to be made for the voice. The decisions do not get made for anything else but the instrument. In 1949, Maria Callas was engaged to sing the role of Brunhilde in the Walküre. Very, very, very heavy repertoire at the Teatro La Fenice in Italy. And there was a wonderful soprano by the name of Margherita Tarozio, who was engaged to sing Elvira in I Puritani, and she got sick. So the theater couldn't find a replacement for Tarozio. So Maestro Serafin, who was grand, 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 told her that she, Callas, would sing Elvira, the role in Puritani for the soprano, a stretch, really incredibly beautiful music, very, very demanding repertoire in 6 days. When Callas protested, not only did she not know the role, she said, but she also had three more Brunhildes to sing. He told her, I guarantee that you can. Basically, that was the turning point. Why? Because instead of saying to the maestro, I'm terribly sorry, but my instrument cannot sing Brunhilde and Puritani within 6 days. Michael Scott, who is the founder of the London Opera Society, said, and I quote, The notion of any one singer embracing music as divergent in its vocal demands as Wagner's Brunhilde and Bellini's Elvira in the same career would have been cause enough for surprise. But to attempt to essay them both in the same season seemed like folie de grandeur, a great folly. After the performance, critics would write that even the most skeptical had to acknowledge the miracle that Maria Callas accomplished. Well, when you've done it once, you can do it again, and so on and so on. And pretty soon, you think yourself infallible. And that, my friends, is the beginning of the end. Maria Callas was the idol, is the idol of generations of singers, will be the idol of generation of singers. Why? Because the drama of her life, the PR in her life, the media in her life, the grandeur of her life, Onassis in her life, Minigini in her life, all of these things create an image. And the image is greater than the person, and definitely greater than the voice. And for this, there is a price to pay. And the price that has to be paid lies in the instrument that needs care, the instrument that needs constant working, the instrument that needs love, and being cherished and being treated as a gift. I think I've mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again because I don't want to take the time to show you more. But seriously, if you are interested, and if you really want to learn, and if you really want to understand what it is that we're talking about ultimately when we talk about gyro vocal motion technique, when we talk about the work that I do with destroyed voices, voices that have suffered, voices that are in the condition of Maria Callas, when things began to go and spiral downward, then you will understand by listening. Do this. Start at her career, at the beginning of her career, and then take intervals of 5 years. And see how the voice from where we just were in Traviata, in La Sonnambula, in the height, in the coloratura, in the beautiful vibrational sound of that voice, how it began to drop and drop and drop into the throat, became three different voices until the so-called chest voice took over. And from there, friends, you don't come up again. Once you are in Hades, once you are enslaved by the throat, once you are in a wobble, unless you find gyro vocal motion, it's over. You can take any singer. At the beginning of their careers, it sounds like, wow, gorgeous, beautiful voice, mezzo-soprano, tenors, baritones, it doesn't matter. And then you go 5, 10, 15 years into the career, into a real career, and you will see the devastation of the instrument. Here is this great talent, this extraordinary musician, who at the age of 40 was already finished. It pains me. Do you understand? It pains me. And the thing that really pains me is this, that at the beginning of your career, when you're sitting on the top, and she became slim, she became a diva, she lost 35, 40 pounds, I don't remember exactly, but a lot of weight, and she became famous as a woman, really, as a woman performer of the world. And basically everybody knows Maria Callas. They don't know too much about, but they know Maria Callas. My question that I keep asking, and I ask it today the same way as I asked it 20 years ago, where were the teachers? Hidalgo, her teacher, put her into a certain place with her quote-unquote bel canto technique. What happened when she started to lose her voice? What happened when Whitney Houston began to have vocal problems? What happened when a person that has studied and is studying and is inside a career sees that something is going on and they have to find help? Where is the help? Where are the teachers that put you there? Wouldn't it seem practical and wouldn't it seem important that those would be the teachers that then, when there is a problem, would also pull you out and reposition you into the right place? What happens to Whitney when things don't go right? What happens to Adele when things don't go right? What happens to John Mayer when things don't go right? What happens to Celine Dion when things don't go right? To Jonas Kaufman? The list is enormous and getting worse every day. Because of what? Because of the fact that the teaching and what is being put into those voices and what is being expected of those voices is not proper, is not correct, does not pull you out when you run into trouble and there isn't a singer alive, and there never has been, that doesn't get into trouble at some point or another, because you're a human being. And as a human being, you have foibles, and you have problems, and you physically go through things, mentally go through things, emotionally go through things. Being in a big career is tremendously, tremendously demanding on the psyche of the singer. Now, the singer doesn't have an external instrument. He has an internal instrument. And there isn't anything in the body that is not influenced by what goes on in your life. That means if you have a stomach ache, you're sick. You cancel a performance. If you have a cold, you got to cancel the performance. On the other hand, a pianist, a violinist can get away with a lot more than a singer. But unless something really extraordinary happens to a violinist, and God forbid he breaks his hand or something, he will play all his life. Not so with a singer, because when the voice goes, the soul goes. Callas lived the voice. Whitney lived the voice. And when Whitney began to lose it, but really lose it, well, not only in her personal life, but then the exposure of where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, what is being done in the world that you live in, which is drugs, which is alcohol, which are parties and late nights, and you begin to suffer. So then you go to a doctor, and then you get Botox injections, and then you get all kinds of medicines, and then you mix, and then you have a performance, and then all of a sudden you can't hold a sound anymore, because your psyche is not strong enough to be able to hold on to that either. Listen to Whitney in 1985. Talking about 1985. In this recording, okay, which is the earliest I could find, There is already a middle voice that is inside the throat. And then when she needs to go up, she starts to belt. That means out, push forward. And then when she wants to create a more soft voice, she goes into a different place yet, which is called by the teachers of today, register changes. So you have chest voice, you have middle voice, and you have head voice. So then, what happens? What is created is basically the same kind of thing that you heard with colors. There isn't a beautiful line in the sound anymore. It breaks up into various sections, and we accept that today. That didn't used to be the way voices were accepted. It didn't used to be the way voices were taught. It didn't used to be the way you stayed singing all your life, because people 30, 40 years ago, you know, people like Bing Crosby, like Dean Martin, like Frank Sinatra, they sang until Tony Bennett is singing today. He's in his 80s. I mean, there was a different way of approaching the voice. It was a different way of approaching the teaching of the voice. It was a different way of completely trusting the instrument with a teacher, because you knew that that teacher was going to not in any way hurt that instrument. Today, that's not the case. And today, things are acceptable that 30, 40 years ago were never acceptable. Why? Because artists like Maria Callas created such hoopla that everybody wants to be just like them. I'll never forget, I was living in Milano and teaching, and somebody came to me who shall be nameless and said to me, I want you to teach me to sing like Maria Callas. And I said, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm going to take your instrument the way that your sound is and the beauty of your voice and make that into the best that it can possibly be. No, 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 that's not what I want. I want to be and I want to sound just like Maria Callas. That is the attitude of everybody. When you talk to opera singers, okay, they have Maria Callas. Big conversation always between Maria Callas and Renata Tebaldi. To me, there is not, there has never been a conversation of who was the greater singer of the two. As far as voice is concerned, as far as image is concerned, as far as artistry is concerned, and Callas was an extraordinary actress. She was an extraordinary personality on stage. She was exciting, great. Is the voice worth it? Is the voice and losing it worth that excitement that you generate? I mean, I can name so many singers. I don't want to do that because I don't want to confuse the issue. But the problematic is teaching. The problematic is our system of values today. What we go for, what is important to us, what is necessary to give to the instrument that you are not doing and that you're not getting from your teachers and not in your conservatories and not desiring of your own. Basically, a singer has a very, 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 a tremendous survival instinct, if you will. He knows when his instrument is giving out. And when the instrument does not work, a singer is not capable of living. Because singers are born. Singers are not made. A voice is not something that you can make. A voice you're born with, a talent you're born with, and it depends on how you treat it and what you do with it in order to have it be the best it can be for the longest period of time. I want you to listen to Whitney in the Concert for New South Africa. This was published in 2014. Don't exactly know when this performance was, but it's really not important because you'll hear listening to the screaming of the public, okay, and listening to her suffering with the voice. I don't want to go on because we don't have a lot of time. Let me tell you something. All the screaming in the world and all of the applauses in the world don't make up for having lost these two extraordinary talents at a very, very, very young age. And all because the teaching, and then the teaching was not done in the right way. What I do in my work is I take people, singers, that have extraordinary problems and some really serious problems, and I reconstruct. And I reconstruct to voices that even before they began were not as great as what they are once we reconstruct in the right place. Joan Rivers died because of the voice. Another dating thing that hit me very, very seriously, because years and years she had problems with the voice, years she looked for help, years nobody could pull her out of it. And of course, when you go to an ENT and you're told, well, you may have this, that, or the other, go and have an endoscopy and then you die. But there are so many singers running around that have so many problems. All I can tell you is, please, do research before you let somebody touch your voice. And when you're in real trouble, no matter what it is that you sing, please, buy my book, The Voice, A Spiritual Approach to Singing, Speaking, and Communicating the Kabbalah of the Voice. It will enlighten you, it will help you, and it will bring you into a different place. It will give you the opportunity to connect with a place that is totally and completely away from the instrument. And when you don't touch the instrument and you don't force the instrument and you don't apply pressure to the instrument and you don't belt and you don't scream and you don't yell, but you build it, it comes back. It gives you everything. But first, you have to give it what it is. Our time is up. Our time is up again. There is so much more to say. There is so much more to do. Go in, take a look, understand what we're talking about. Don't go with the pack. Go against the pack. Check and watch your voices glow in brilliance when you reconstruct in Jiro Vocal Motion Technique. Write to me. I'm always, always there for you. Sending love and light to everybody. Please be well. Share the message. Become a fan and share with your friends. Love you all. Be well. Be well.